This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Coming to you live from the Cross Country Mortgage Campus in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland. Here are your hosts, Bo Bishop and Nathan Zagura.
Let's do it live on a sun-kissed Monday. Oh, baby. 70 and sunny. Out there living.
It's glorious.
It really is.
It's glorious. It's not going to last for, long.
Right there. I love that.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah. I'm enjoying it as well.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying it as well.
We got this today. You know, Griff's already on something. We got something wrong.
Uh-oh.
What's going on?
Luminaries parading around.
Gosh, there are luminaries around, and we've got Griff is now fixing a camera.
It's probably the post.
Now he's up. We don't see anything on the stream here.
Yeah.
Griff's working on it right now.
All right, we're efforting. No Gibby. He's on assignment this week.
The kids are running amok.
There we go. Now you're on. There you go. That's everything that you need right there.
How about this number right here from the great Bo Bishop?
I like it. Yeah, I like it.
Kind of ties well in with the outfit.
Ties in with the outfit. It ties the room together.
It's a lot of – my head is so tiny.
You do.
I have such a wee little melon.
It is, yeah.
I'm going to have to go one. Let's see.
Oh, yeah. Now you're at. That's you. That's you right there. That'll come down. That's a good spot for you right there. I like that.
Oh, baby.
Yeah. How you doing?
Great. Even better now. Thank you to your kindness.
Oh, no. No. Oh, gosh almighty. We've got a Gibby sat down with Matt Miller coming.
Yeah, we've got a Gibby interview.
Is he doing?
He's giving us gifts. Giving us gifts. Gibby's down in Florida. I think he's, from at least when I last checked in with him, he is happy as a clam, as they say, which, in my opinion, is a strange expression. How do we know that clams are happy?
I think it's just the fact that they always look like they're smiling, right? Because of their natural disposition or their natural position,
rather. They like to be closed.
Right, but it kind of has the view of a smile. It's kind of like a golden retriever, like Buddy Garrity. Like, he always looks like he's smiling at you.
Yeah.
Just because his resting face is a jaw open. And it just looks like he's smiling.
That's the thing that's sad about Asa, is Asa, because I think she is a, you know, south of the border dog, she's used to a certain level of heat that she does not get here.
Yeah.
So there are only maybe 3 months a year where her resting face is an open mouth smile.
Yeah.
The rest of the year, she keeps her mouth closed the whole time.
Just pensive. Just trying to get through the day. Dad, why are we here? What are
you doing? And then in the summer, she is doing the same thing, but it's like, now you're having a great time.
Yeah. That's the way that goes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. No, we had a great weekend at a nice little Sunday, and now you've got today and then tomorrow, and then it cools off, right? Then
I think tomorrow's going to rain quite a bit.
Is it all day?
I don't know, but I think some. I think if you want to do something outdoors.
It's got to be done today.
Today.
Is that the objective?
Yeah, I think that's right.
What do you got going on over there?
I'd like to see you. That's just my back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right, I'd like to see you and the boys put some shots up today, speaking of. Putting shots. It won't be quite the most recent environment for which shots were put up, but.
No. All right. Oh, 46 Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. No. Then it's over.
It's done. Oh, my God. And, like, middle of March is, like, highs in the 30s. Oh, go. Live.
Yeah.
Live. Tell the bosses. Let the people live.
Yeah. Everybody.
Let them out.
Everybody out by 3 today.
No doubt. Get out there.
If
yeah,
not
this
2.
Is it. Yeah, you got to.
Maybe we'll put Matt Miller in the second hour, and we'll.
I like where your head's at.
Put
maybe
Matt Miller,
maybe
like
Matt Miller. Who gets hurt? Matt Miller, 240, right to 250, right to 253, and then next level's next.
Somebody's got to outro it. If you're fine with me doing it, I'm.
Uno, we want to see you
spread. You asked the question, and yet you are the answer.
We want to see you spread your wings and fly.
I mean, that's
Uno's, because Uno's got to stay here. Uno's locked in. It's a big day for Uno.
What's going on for Uno?
Uno's making his Cleveland Browns Flag Football League debut.
This
There's
is my,
a league here that
yeah,
is
there
still
was.
Going on.
It was defunct.
Right, I've and heard now of your greatness, back. And that forever your cleats sat in there, and I don't think they are anymore.
No.
I got a very, so now it's back.
I got a very nice compliment from Ashby.
Okay.
Ashby came up to me and goes, why aren't you playing flag football?
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm old, man. It's over.
It's over.
It's over for me.
Yeah.
He's like, I used to love to sit up there and watch you like sling the ball around.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, Ashby, we had to have a hug. We need an embrace now. Thank you very much. You guys, and he even mentioned the Jeff George jersey. I was like, yeah. He was down. He goes, actually, a lot of us used to watch when you guys would play in like the big games. He said a lot of us come up there and watch because we liked watching you sling it. AB used to play. AB was like Michael Vick and Ed Reed in one person.
Probably tough to defend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very much so. But that was very nice, Ash. But no, so I'm not playing, but the league is back. Uno is playing and making his debut tonight.
He's got good wheels.
Yeah, we know that.
Yeah, I've actually never played like organized football in my life, so I'm just going off.
That seems
I'm
hard for me to understand. How did someone of your speed not get like into? Because you ran track at BW. How did you, someone with your speed, not get poached at some point to play some football?
My mom was not into me playing football as a kid because I wasn't big enough. So she thought if I got hit,
Mama Uno. Yeah.
Well, this is flag, so we don't have to worry about that. My question.
So this will be fine.
Can you run at Uno speeds and catch at the same time?
I think so. We're about to find out, but I think so.
You can go far into the NFL, in fact, being able to run really quickly, even if you can't catch the ball.
That's true.
We know.
We know.
We've seen it.
We've seen it.
Yeah.
If you will. Well, that's exciting. So the debut for him, is Griff playing?
Griff is not playing.
All right, run through. Give us your squad, and then we're going to get to Bo's. I mean, between the two of us, we have a couple of fairy tale, experiences.
Yeah.
All right, Uno, give us your squad.
I'm pulling it up right now.
I know that it starts with Corey, who is taking over the equipment from the great Brad Melland, who is retiring. But I know we're gonna, do something with Brad here on the program before he.
Yeah,
is
of course
officially,
has to. Yeah. He had the Brad Excellence Award. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'm on the great Team Black. Okay. Shout out to them.
That's great. It's a good place to start.
Captained by Corey.
Yeah.
Corey Gillissey.
We've got Andrew.
By the way, you already have a quarterback.
Yeah.
And an elite one. He can sling it. Yes.
Yeah, so they ask you on the questionnaire if you're like willing to play quarterback. So I think a lot of these captains are the people who said, hey, we want to play quarterback.
Okay.
Yeah. Andrew Boyd.
So if you did that in the third grade, like if you went into Bootsy's class and say, are you willing to play quarterback? You'd have 25 people going like this.
Yeah.
I think that
lessens as you get older.
All of them.
I have no interest in that.
All right, so Uno, Corey, go ahead.
Andrew Boyd, Britt Anderson, Cade Zielinski, Enzo Perfetto.
I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah, same. He's got to bring it.
Ian Sexton, Amon Warren.
Amon's good.
And then me, Kevin Lewis.
Oh, my God. How many teams are there?
Six.
Six teams. Teams? That's a lot of guys. You go 7-on-7 in this?
6-on-6.
Okay.
We have Riley Hexlinski.
Ooh, Riley.
And Savannah Allen. That's the team.
That's a lot of people.
So you're going to want to work Riley and Amon definitely in the red zone because if the rules are the same, I think a touchdown scored by a female counts double.
Okay.
I think it's one more point now. I don't think it's double.
Okay. It's definitely bonus points. Yeah, Amon's good.
It's seven
Amon
versus
six. Amon can play, and I have to imagine Riley can play. So I think you're going to be in pretty good shape there.
I was told Riley can play.
Then you're a gizzard me.
Are there any former NFL players playing in this league?
I didn't see any when I was looking through.
I don't think so.
Through.
Okay. If Glenn Cook's playing, he's...
yeah. He's
I didn't see
quite
Glenn.
Quite formidable.
I bet he's probably not now. But no, he was... Yeah, he's a dude.
Tyson's formidable. AB. So it's interesting. That's a great exercise there because I know... Maybe four people on Uno's team.
I did a lot of like, oh.
Yeah.
I know like three.
Yeah. I want to know Enzo.
I need to know Enzo.
Yeah. I think I do know him. I feel like I could identify Enzo.
The difference being, though, like if you just claim that you only knew four, and I bet you all of them know you, whereas I'm not here all the time.
They know you.
So, well, maybe just as to walk by.
Maybe
just
is,
to walk by.
You know Uno and Corey.
Yeah.
So you know two.
Yeah, that's right.
And they all know you.
Nah, I don't know.
I think they do.
I don't know. I don't
not
know.
Not a lot of them know me. That's also.
That's about to change.
That's also
that
true.
That's about to change, kid.
Okay. You better. I hope you can catch it.
Hold on.
Going to be a lot of go routes.
I'm fine.
Little stop and go.
I'm confident in my ability to catch.
Okay.
Dave Giuliani's a beast as well in this league.
I was told it's not like an NFL size ball. It's smaller.
A little smaller.
So.
Oh, that's good. It's hard for people to throw the big guy. Hard for some people.
Played a lot of catch in the backyard with my brother. So, okay, I feel confident in.
That's good. Very good. I'd like Griff to warm you up.
I'm fine with that. I think I might need it.
Maybe you go out there. Will you go out there and throw him, get him loose? Yeah. Not today because it's beautiful.
Not today.
But, later in.
Yeah, for sure. We can go in the field house and have
get
a catch
loose.
Anytime.
Yeah. You go have a catch and get it.
I'll sling it around to you.
Sure. Yeah.
I can sling that, yeah, baby.
Yeah,
for sure.
All
right, this is what I want to know, because I was very particular
about
my game day attire. I used to wear my Jeff George jersey.
Yeah.
I'd usually have probably either a white or a black sleeve under it.
Okay.
And then I had
with arm or non?
Both. I was never a one sleeve guy.
You were
guy.
Wearing a sleeve. You're wearing like long
some
sleeves. You were wearing long sleeve.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like a compression type
exactly.
shirt.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah.
And then I always wore my...
like Jeff George, by the way, who always wore the compression sleeves, naturally. I remember it well, yeah.
I had some black Nike, or they may have been Jordan, actually, Roy Jones Jr. shorts that had his logo on them, which was quite a logo in retrospect.
I'm trying to remember it. I was in a back of a limo with Roy Jones Jr. once on the way from Pensacola to Tallahassee.
He was I remember you telling me that story. I think you brought
basketball.
Up that, by the way, you told
this
story in response
about?
To... Yes.
Yeah. Playing semi-pro basketball.
And then I had my, for a while, I had some red, bright red fast cleats or whatever they were, speed cleats, who knows.
Yeah.
Roy Jones Jr. logo. I don't know if it was Nike or Jordan.
He was Jordan, wasn't he?
I think he was Jordan. It was like a rooster. Is what it was.
Yeah.
Roy Jones Jr. is phenomenal.
It was a rooster. I mean, he was into that. He liked the fighting roosters.
Yeah. I don't have any
pictures.
I
studied him.
I have a lot of pictures of him with roosters, but I don't have any pictures of the logo.
Yeah, it's interesting. I just did it too, and there's nothing that's popping up. I wonder if it was something that got pulled because of the connotation. I wonder if the logo got canceled. I bet the logo got canceled.
It very well could have, from my recollection of it. There's a reason immature me had those shorts.
Of course, yeah.
that was my look.
I am. So this is a lovely hoodie you're wearing. I am surprised. This just got me thinking. A man is. I know that you were in the vicinity, very close vicinity. I've been in a very close vicinity with him on a golf course before, and his attire when I was around him was entirely head to toe his own logo. There was nothing on his person that was not made with his logo on it.
Yeah.
Did you find that to be the same?
So from what I could tell, he had on like a maroon red, maybe lighter than maroon, but a deep red Jordan. It was like a not
big,
a,
big, yeah, but he's high t-shirt guy,
t-shirt,
not
high,
collar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Then he had on khaki, looked like khaki Jordan shorts. He had that. I call him like a Fidel Castro hat that he likes.
Yeah, he
loves
like
that.
Those,
and that was tan with the Jordan logo on it. And obviously he was wearing Jordans.
Yeah.
So, yes. In other words.
So, because this is not a Jordan manufactured.
In fact.
I would have thought that's all that was in there. None.
I didn't find one. Shoes. They have all the shoes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But none of
I didn't find a single Jordan logoed piece of gear. It was
so
all.
So then that's by choice too. God bless him. The greatest.
I know, but wouldn't you think
like you would?
He wants that funneling right back to him. Then
you
the
asked the question. That's the one I asked you. That's why I was surprised that they had another manufacturer. I would assume it would have all been logoed.
I got three different things.
Yeah,
three different manufacturers. Okay. I have this one. I got a FootJoy zip hoodie that you haven't seen yet. That is
spectacular. I'm sure.
Spectacular. Yep. And then I got like a kind of almost like a dress one.
Okay.
A blue. It's almost kind of like a wool. But it's not wool.
Yeah.
But a blue one. That's like you could wear to a white tablecloth.
Maybe. I like that.
But nothing there. But they had all the shoes, all of that, but nothing.
That's surprising. I would have thought that it would have been
all
my of
buddy,
that
when
you'd
he
want.
Said they had one, it was kind of a weird purple polo.
Okay.
And that was the only thing that had the Jumpman logo on it. And so my buddy got it. But when we were there, I did not see anything.
That's something. Would not have had that.
Yeah.
Would not have had that. So it was great.
It was great. All right, hold on. Talk about a little bit about what you did, because this is elite fathering.
So when it was occurring to me that this would be, as I've shared the many stories of coaching the boys in the youth sports.
Yep.
So this is it for NBC. Was this past weekend was travel basketball. So from here on out, paid coaches, I'm out of it. I'm out of the mix. So about a month ago, I was getting a little sad about it. I'm like, I wonder what could I do? What would be like a cool thing? So one of the things that I had the boys do when they were young is I had them pick. Remember I've said before on the show, like I have them pick like an NFC team, so that if we don't make it or we're out, go like an NFC team so that you can still have an interest in postseason.
Have somebody to root for.
Yeah. Sure. So I had them do the same thing with college basketball because I love March Madness. So I said, look, non-Buckeye, pick a team. So when they were really little, they all picked teams. So NBC picked Kentucky, Beamsy picked Kansas, and Bootsy likes Carolina. And so they went blue blood. So they're pretty smart in that sense. I mean, no sense in rooting for a program that can't get anywhere. So they picked those. So about a month ago, I said, you know what? He's never been to Kentucky, never been to a Kentucky game. I'm going to take him to a Kentucky game. So I look on the schedule, and they played Arkansas Saturday, and it was at 1:30.
The Razorbacks.
The Razorbacks, yeah. And I thought, well, that'll be fun. That's perfect. That's 1:30 on a Saturday. We'll go down Friday after school. We'll go to the game on Saturday. We'll come home. It'll be a lot of driving, but it'll be 24 hours, and we'll get it done, Mr. Zagura.
How long of a drive?
4:45.
Indy.
I did 10 hours of driving in a week, 2 5-hour drives, because I went to Indy back and forth and that back and forth.
So that's 20. Not to rain on your parade, my friend.
Public school. That's 20. So 20 hours in the car last week. So yes. It was a lot. It was a lot. So I knew that one of his good buddies, I knew that his uncle was involved somehow, but I did not know
one of NBC's
good buddies. I knew that his uncle was involved somehow. Okay. So I texted my buddy, who's NBC's buddy's dad, and I just was looking for a recommendation. I just really wanted to give him like the quintessential UK experience, right?
Yep.
So I don't know if there was like a mom and pop or something like that that was specific. So he goes, well, do you want to go to practice? And I'm like,
come again?
Really? Like, are you serious? Like, that's crazy. So it was just an amazing thing that Joe did. And so it turns out that NBC's buddy's uncle is the athletic director for basketball at Kentucky. So he is, which makes him quite powerful.
Gonna say.
At the University of Kentucky. Yeah, so he's Cal's like guy. Like, yeah. So I'm like, that's unbelievable. So I quickly maneuvered. I'm like, all right, I need to be off Friday now. It's, I think, 5 hours down there. Like, he's like, can you be there by noon? I'm like, I want to give plenty of time. So, like, we left at 6 a.m. Friday morning, and we buzzed down and got there, went to the bookstore, got lunch, and then he didn't know any of this was happening. We were just walking around campus. I'm like, hey, dude, let's just go in here. He knew he was going to a Kentucky game, but didn't know anything else.
He's like, why do we have to leave at 6 a.m.?
I just said, no, he didn't. I just said, I go, well, we only have 24 hours down there. Like, I want you to see campus. I want you to live. So we're just walking, and we get lunch. And then the way that the timing worked, I'm like, he's like, Dad, where are you going? I'm like, well, let's just see if we can get in the practice facility. Maybe we can get in. So I just walked in the front door, and Chris was waiting there. And he told him that, you know, you want to go to practice. And NBC, like, got teary-eyed. Like, he was so moved by it. So he likes Kentucky more than all the rest of his stuff together. All the rest of the sports, Kentucky basketball. He never missed a game. Hasn't since he was four. Like,
does he know about Rex?
Oh, for sure. No, dude, he would know every roster spot of everybody of the last decade. He would know the hit, all of them.
Okay.
Like, he just, the way you felt about the Niners.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's Kentucky basketball.
Like, Kentucky basketball for him.
Okay.
So we go to practice. It's a 2.5-hour practice. Cal was amazing. Get to meet Cal, meet Reed Shepard, who's Jeff Shepard's son, who's playing for them now. So that was crazy. So with my plans changing, I used to do the voiceover work for Jeff Ruby, and I messaged him when they went into Columbus. I messaged him, and I'm like, it's Friday night, it's late notice, but can you, like, is there any chance we can eat at your place on Friday? So he's like, gave me the general manager's number. So we went from Kentucky practice to Ruby's. So at the end of the dinner, I guess this is something they do for UK UK recruits or something. They brought out at the end of the dinner, the meal is unbelievable.
It's great.
But then at the end of the meal, they brought out
You sent it to me. I know.
Did I send this to you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it's a Kentucky Dunk, yeah. Jeff Ruby Kentucky Dunk, like Nike Dunk, chocolate mousse cake.
That's gold.
That's gold. That looks, and then
it's
served.
Like a, it looks like a shoe.
Yeah, it looks exactly like a.
It is a shoe,
and it's served like in. I don't know if I sent you that one. It's served in like that's how it comes out. Like it says Kentucky, and then it you pull the glass off with dry ice, and it's sitting underneath. So like that happened. So it was nuts. And then the next day we went to Keeneland, which I love Keeneland. It's just spectacular. So we went to Keeneland, Waffle House breakfast, went to Keeneland, and then we went to the game. And then the game, they win.
What's one, Keeneland?
The racetrack down there.
Okay.
Like it's if God created a place for horses to run and to be watched run,
that's
it would be Keeneland.
Okay.
It's so majestic.
Okay.
It's just spectacular. So we did that, and we went to the game. And because of certain things, I was able to get. And this one, I just said, look, we're going once. We're going to sit great. So we were first row. We were on TV the whole time because we were right to the – if you're looking at the screen, we were right to the left of Calipari.
Okay.
So we were on the screen the whole time, and we had great seats. It was amazing how much Calipari and Musselman, like every call, they yelled at the officials. Every call. It was either – you screwed that up. I want that at my end. Every whistle they complained. It was unbelievable how much they
both
complained.
Both of them.
Just John the whole time. But it's 20,000, and it's honestly reminded me very much of like, it kind of felt like Ohio State football, but even almost more, almost felt like it's hard to get more fanatical than Ohio State football, but Browns is right there. Like just this.
Like 20,000 S's?
20,000 S's. Yeah, or 20,000 Muni Lot.
Yeah.
And it's built straight up. So, like, you know, the queue fans out. A lot of these arenas fan out. It's straight up. So, like, the people who are seated in front of you, your feet are at their heads.
Got it.
If there were people, there weren't for us. But if for everybody else, it really isn't a bad seat because their heads are at your feet. So, everything's perfect. Perfect sight lines.
Do they have people on the floor or no? Because it's college.
They've only got, there was only probably 10 seats on the floor.
Okay.
That's it. But the game was unbelievable. It went 111 to 102.
How nervy was that building? Because I know
they got down nine.
Game.
They got down nine with 8 minutes, 9 minutes to go, and then they went. And it reminded me of like college basketball in our youth. Like the scoring efficiency was crazy,
off the charts.
It was crazy, and Arkansas was into it. Like they were playing hard, and they were
ranked.
They're not. They were preseason. They were a very disappointing season, but they were engaged.
They have like, a ton of talented team too.
Yeah, you know. But the other thing that was amazing to me was because I went to Ohio State Indiana game a month ago, and the amount of talent Kentucky has, I mean, it's stupefying. They have they had five kids in the top 25 in the country. They have three point guard freshmen, including Shepherd and two others. Wagner, DJ Wagner, who's Dwan Wagner's kid.
Oh man!
So and Milt Wagner's grandson. So he starts, and then they got Shepherd, and they got this kid Rod Dillingham, and they're all three 5-star kids. They're just ridiculous. They're all freshmen. So it was crazy. And then we went home. I had to explain to him what Hell is Real is, what that sign was down the way to Cincinnati, and also had to explain. He goes, Dad, what's a Hooters? Because he didn't have a point of reference on that. And I said, well, is there one even up here?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah.
That's where the alpha males go after.
That's where the alpha males
play.
That's right.
Play golf with the boys.
Yeah. So I'm very thankful to you, and because it was a quick turn, like for me to be off Friday, I wasn't planning on it. So thankful for you and
I had a fine Wednesday, Thursday. So I was
happy
to.
You did very well.
Happy to carry the load.
I told him on the way home. I'm like, dude, that was like a make a wish weekend, and I told like the other two, like I don't have any hookup. I didn't have a hookup here. Like this is just pure luck. But like I told Beamsy, I'm like, dude, I got nothing at Kansas. Like I don't know anybody at Kansas. I don't know. I know a couple people at Carolina, but not to the point where I'm watching a practice.
Right.
Yeah.
Hold on. You did not mention that not only did he watch practice.
Yeah.
He did put some shots up.
Oh yeah, he got to shoot around. Yeah, he got to shoot around in the practice facility, and then because of where our seats were, like they gave him the ball to like warm up the game ball. So he was like, got to bounce the game ball on Rupp Arena. Like, so you got to do that, too. It's crazy. It's crazy.
All right. How did he shoot?
He was nervy. So Jack Givens was there. Like, a lot of – first of all, like, the whole Kentucky team was there. It's not like they were all watching him, but he was shooting on a side hoop. And Jack Givens, who was the most outstanding player, I want to say, in the 78 Final Four,
okay.
He was there. And so, like, he's got a good stroke.
Yeah.
And so, like, it was just missing him a little bit. And then he finally hit one, and then Jack went and got the rebound and was like – He's like, you got a good stroke, man. Keep shooting it. And it, like, that was, I'm like, do you know who that is? And then it was alumni weekend. So Kenny Skywalker was there, Jamal McGlure, a bunch of those guys were there. Jeff Shepard was sitting right behind us.
Was Rex there?
Dude, I was on the lookout. I didn't see him. I feel like if he would have, here's the most crazy thing. His number's not retired. They've got 15 numbers retired or honored in the rafters. His is not one of them, which is crazy to me how his would not be among them.
He left real early, didn't he?
Sophomore year.
Yeah.
But still.
But he was King Rex.
He was King Rex.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what their rules are on retired players, but
he's probably doing book tours. His book just came out, which is supposed to be.
Yeah. That's all I was looking for was King Rex. Oh, I just wanted to find
him.
Find him anywhere.
If you had sent me a pic of you with your arm around Rex, I probably would have fallen out of my chair.
NBC would have had to take that photo.
Yeah.
I did all the rest of photography.
Kid. Yeah.
Yeah. That's my guy, man. But it was fun. And it made you like I loved them as a kid.
Yeah.
Because of Rex.
Same.
Yeah. If you were of our age, he was the
dude. They have those. You could probably find him when he gets bigger. Because remember when they made that throwback set Nike did?
Yeah.
It was the Nike with the swoosh under it. They made UNLV Larry Johnson.
That's right.
They made a Chris Mullin St. John's. They made
a
Morning Georgetown. Yep. And they made a Rex Kentucky. But the weird thing about it was it's a gray.
Oh, that's right. And that's not what they wore.
No, but it's a gray Kentucky 3.
Yeah.
I still have one somewhere.
Yeah,
I have one signed by him.
Do you
in
really?
My basement.
Yeah. Yeah, I was on the lookout for him everywhere.
Yeah,
it was cool. It was cool. But on the way back, I'm like, so there's no question, he's going to want to go there, as if he didn't want to anyway. This is now, it was just such a cool thing.
He's got to.
Yeah, yeah, it was good. It was great. Rest in peace, Chris Mortensen, over the weekend as well,
and Richard Lewis, since you and I have done a show together.
You and I have not done a show since Richie. I thought the show. Last night, it was...
I haven't watched it yet.
This won't ruin it, but he's in it. And as you would be, because obviously it was filmed a long time ago, I was so sad every time I saw him that I didn't really watch the episode the same way.
Yeah.
Because he was in a lot. And it was you could tell even more so how frail he was when they filmed, but it was even exacerbated more in the episode from Sunday and then knowing that he had passed. So that was,
and
I think you'll see that.
Pretty sure episode 2 is the one where he's going back and forth with Larry, or episode 3.
3, when he's about
the percentages
correct.
Of their estate.
Yes. Well, they get into that again. So it's kind of distracting. I don't know what else you would have done.
Did they have an in memoriam open?
I didn't see. I flipped right as it was starting.
Got it.
So I don't know if they did something before or they did something. I'm sure they did. They didn't do anything after. But yeah, I'll have to give it another watch just because I was
you
every
can digest.
Time, I couldn't take it in because he was all over it. As for Mort, I don't have any time where I've ever crossed paths with him. I thought the most moving thing I heard was from Daniel Jeremiah, though, for sure, when he talked about that impact that he had on him and moved to tears, and I thought that was incredible, what a role he played in Daniel Jeremiah's life. And it's rare that you see somebody who has just universally said the best guy ever. And everybody says that.
Yeah. I'd gotten to meet him a few times and interview him a few times, and he was always, couldn't have been nicer.
Yeah.
Couldn't have been nicer. Couldn't have been more gracious. Zero air of arrogance. Just a good, nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very sad. And it was one of those things, unfortunately, if you got to see over the last, it feels like 6-8 years.
Yeah.
Kind of as he battled cancer and saw kind of just the physical changes and just to the point where he couldn't, be on TV anymore because he battled through it. And I think that tells you when somebody is still put in those positions when clearly they're struggling, it's because of the great respect that people around them have for them, that they're going to go as long as it can go.
There is no doubt. Yeah. And Jeremiah said that he was even texting him about Spencer Rattler. Yesterday, that he passed on Sunday morning, and I guess on Saturday he was texting with Jeremiah about how Rattler's going to throw.
Wow!
So that was still his.
Because was passion. Jeremiah the his wife? Who was the somebody I saw? Gosh, I can't. Somebody's wife also had cancer, and he sent a note to Mort, and Mort sent him back the nicest thing, but also kind of gave him a lot of advice for how to deal with it. It was.
Okay. Jeremiah, I think, got with him when he was because he played quarterback at Appalachian State, made it seem like he interned for him 20 years ago.
Okay.
Is kind of the way that it seemed based on what I saw. But an absolute titan in this business and in the NFL world as well. Those are your hot topics today presented by Vivid Seats, official fan experience partner of your Cleveland Browns. A lot of news around the league. I think we're going to get into that coming up next. We'll have that interview with Gibby and Matt Miller as well coming up. Free agency primer for us. We're off and running on a Monday. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
And Bo here for my friends at James B. Beam Distilling Company. Booker Noe's vision for Knob Creek was always to be the embodiment of full-flavored American whiskey through age-proof and flavor to create a product that sets the standard. Knob Creek has created a champion, those who stay true to their craft, know what they like, and don't feel pressure to conform. Now through April 30th, don't forget to take advantage of the Knob Creek Steak Rebate. Get a rebate when you buy Knob Creek Bourbon plus a steak. Just upload a picture of your receipt to knobcreeksteakrebate.com, and they'll send you $20 right to your Venmo account. Must be 21 to participate. See full terms at knobcreeksteakrebate.com. Knob Creek, Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 50% alcohol by volume, 2024 James B. Beam Distilling Company, Claremont, Kentucky. Knob Creek, drink what tastes right. We did have a little bit. It's quiet, man. We had this, you and I talked Monday, Tuesday at the Combine, and then you headed back northbound.
Yep.
Just a very different feel to the Combine this year with the Marvin Harrison, the quarterbacks not throwing, and then nothing got done business-wise. It was a very quiet.
Yeah.
In terms of what you thought that the Fields thing would take momentum, the only thing I can only dot I can connect on that is if maybe there just isn't the market that the Bears thought there would be for him.
Well, that was one of the reports that came out, but then those reports always feel dubious.
Yeah, I know it, but like when we were talking, I was talking to Chris Rose. I can't remember if it was Tuesday or Wednesday. I was talking to Chris Rose, and he brought up a very good point about, you know, the Rams offense and who McVay likes and the type of quarterback Zach Robinson, the new offensive coordinator in Atlanta, might like. And it might not be Fields. That maybe
possible.
The guy that they would prefer would be Cousins. You and I had said
for
that,
sure.
that would be the more apples, you know, put him right in there and away you go. Whereas Fields would take a little bit of conforming from their standpoint. But I do wonder if there just isn't the momentum or the Bears aren't getting back from Fields what they thought they could.
It's
just
possible.
Quiet.
It doesn't. It is, and it needs to be done soon. I mean, we're
yeah, two, what 11 days?
11,
is
yeah,
March 13th.
Yeah. And you haven't. Russ has been quiet. Cousins. It sounds like Kevin O'Connell said. Kwesi had said earlier in the week that, you know, we want to keep him. Kevin O'Connell said he's going to go to test free agency. He's earned that right, and we respect that, and we hope to retain him. But he'll be out there. And supposedly there was the report. I think it was on Friday when you weren't here that Arthur Blank had basically given the orders. I don't care what it takes. I want Kirk Cousins.
Oh, I missed that entirely.
Yeah, where was – that was Friday, wasn't that?
So I missed that entirely.
Yeah, that would have been Friday.
All right,
yeah.
So there was reporting Friday that Blank said, I want Cousins.
Somebody, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that fits more with what they're trying to do offensively. So then the market for Fields becomes Raiders,
Patriots.
Steelers, Patriots.
So if you're the Patriots, do you think, okay, we're going to bring Justin Fields in here?
Yes.
And we'll draft Marvin Harrison.
Of course. And here's to even buttress your point further. If it was going to be the conventional wisdom over there was it was going to take a second day pick and a third day pick. So if that was a 2 and a 4, maybe now it's a 3 and a 5. If you're New England, or even if it's a 2 and a 5, you throw that their way to the Bears, and then you draft Harrison. Now you got a quarterback and a receiver stud. Let's go.
You guys should become a fun offense.
Yeah. Yeah, they could. So that is something to pay attention to. But overall, it was quiet. We did get some news today. Mike Evans signing a 2-year extension with Tampa Bay. 2 years, $52 million. It leaves the tag open for Mayfield and Antoine.
I was going to say, if you were wondering, they're not tagging Baker. There's no way.
No way. No.
If you were wondering why it had come out Mike Evans was going to test free agency and Mike Evans wanted to go play for a team that had an elite quarterback and could win a Super Bowl.
Yep.
And then you say to yourself, but he didn't even get to free agency and he signed his contract today. Why? 2 years, $52 million.
52.
Is the answer. That's yep. Why.
I can't remember if you'd already left, but that was, we were talking about that in regard to the Vikings, like how they really kind of messed up not getting the Justin Jefferson deal done last year.
Yep.
Before the extra $30 million in cap
yep.
space came in, because what they could have gotten him for last summer versus what they're going to have to pay now.
That's why the Browns did a good job getting Delpit done right. Early. But we've done a good job of getting all of our guys kind of before market spikes at their positions, which has been very good for the Browns.
Yeah, very much so. The Dolphins are not going to franchise tag defensive tackle Christian Wilkins, making him one of the top free agents available. He will have a big price tag.
He will. He's probably not on our radar, but in talking to some people at the combine when I had my limited opportunity to talk to some people who knew the Dolphins organization fairly well, that was the sense I got, that he was not coming back.
He was not coming back. Xavier Worthy ran a 4.21 40. That's fast.
The fastest.
Yeah. Beat Usain Bolt, but I think didn't he do it in sweatpants?
Yeah.
The Bolt stuff was terrible to Usain. He was in like basketball shoes and sweatpants and like already retired.
He probably run like a 2.8.
He would be well faster. Track speed is different.
Completely. He what's interesting is, so he has the fastest. John Ross was one of the faster ones. Schwartz was one of the faster ones, and that is not necessarily
no.
Troy Williamson. You remember him way back?
I do.
Today, who went
way back and then Stanford, right?
And he went first round. I was going to say
Florida.
Like,
Troy Williamson.
I was going to say like Arkansas. I don't know why that was in my mind.
We're all over the map on that. Get the MIT kids to figure that out.
But he went that year because of that. He went like 8th overall.
Okay.
Troy Williamson.
I wonder who I'm thinking.
South Carolina.
South Carolina.
We're all over it.
I had the
colors. You had the colors. You guys were at least in the right region. Who the hell am I thinking of from Stanford?
From
Troy.
That could fly?
I don't know. Probably not anybody, quite honestly.
Colby Fleener?
Yeah. I had the colors sort of.
Yes,
I
mean, you're in the red here.
Similar colors, yeah. So there you go on that. That doesn't necessarily mean success. The kid was a big time recruit at Texas and did put up some numbers there. So we'll see how that goes. But it's the overwhelming thing that you kind of take from the combine was that receiver and offensive line are bountiful in this year's class.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is you've got. If you want a receiver, you want an offensive tackle, you're in a very good spot in this draft.
Yeah.
And I think for the Browns, you know, looking at it, maybe it does mean instead of spending money on a receiver, you do draft one.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can probably go into second, third rounds and get a good receiver tackle combo back to back. And then maybe you do spend on a defensive tackle.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the way that you look at it there as opposed to drafting one, because it wasn't, you didn't get the sense that it was a great draft for that position for the defensive tackle spot. There is some good talent early, but not a ton of talent.
This is one of my favorite notes. There's a lingering sense the NFL still wants to get to 18 regular season games.
No duh.
You kidding?
No.
Yeah, of course they're going. You're not going to stay in an odd number of games. You're going to get even as soon as you can. I wish they'd go the other way, honestly. I wish they would go 16. I just think 18 is – I like the uniformity of a 16-game season from a records standpoint.
Of course.
I just like it. I think 16 was a sweet spot. I think 17 is, it's just two more regular season games. It's just a lot. I know we love our football, but man, that's a lot of ball. It's a lot of ball to be played. And it's rosters. It wreaks havoc on rosters.
By the way, for the Browns, just to make sure everybody's on the same page, Browns have a second round pick, 54th overall, a third round pick, then 2/5, 2/6, and a 7th. So the no 4th round pick. So if you want to get a tackle and a, I think it feels like almost you're thinking receiver, tackle, and maybe even running back.
Yeah.
With those first two picks.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll move into the fourth round.
We've heard that sweet spot for running backs is like third, fourth round.
Yeah, maybe you move a fifth and a sixth for a fourth or something like that.
All right, coming up next, Gibbe, one-on-one with ESPN draft analyst Matt Miller. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
And don't miss Billy Joel, Rod Stewart together for the first time ever. It's Friday, September 3rd, 13th rather. It's at Cleveland Browns Stadium. The tickets are on sale now. Visit clevelandbrownsstadium.com/Billy and Rod 2024.
Billy and Rod.
Billy Joel, Rod Stewart together. It's one night only. Just so you're aware, it's one night only.
That's it.
And now here's Gibbe with Matt Miller.
Here on Cleveland Browns Daily, Jason Gibbs with you. Happy to be joined by ESPN NFL draft analyst. I'm sure it doesn't get old when you hear that title.
It's weird, though. It's weird.
From the Bleacher Report to ESPN,
yeah.
Your own website still.
For a little bit there, yeah. I mean, okay. ESPN is time-consuming. That's the big thing, and super, super fortunate. Like you said, this is my 12th combine, so been doing it a little while.
The great Matt Miller joins us here from ESPN, NFL Nation, and ESPN draft reporter for the NFL. Follow him on Twitter, at NFL Draft Scout. We're back at it, man. It's hard to believe. Super Bowl just 3 weeks ago, and quickly turning the page. And what's been the vibe here this week as you get ready for the combine drills, exercises? We're starting to see the interviews trickle in. Early takeaways from you.
Yeah, no, it's an exciting class. It really is. This is a year in which, you know, I do a top 50 list. I do a first round prospect list. And there were so many guys I wanted to get in that top 50. You know, like I'll do conversations like this with you guys and you ask me about a player and I'm like, oh yeah, he's a top 50 player. And then you go to make that list. Like I have 70 top 50 players. That math doesn't work. Same with the first round this year. There are so many talented prospects. Great news for the Cleveland Browns. So many talented prospects that, you know, even we did Mel Kiper's mock draft last night, did a show, you know, tearing it apart, making fun of Mel. And it was like, man, there's so many guys that weren't in there, but there was no one in his first round that I didn't think belonged there. So that goes to show, yeah, I'm sure fans get tired of us being like, this guy's a first rounder and that guy's, you know, it's like Oprah giving away cars, but they're like 35, 40 players who you could realistically see in the first round this year.
Absolutely. There are super deep. And I mean, we've seen everything from, you know, 5 to 6, maybe even 7 quarterbacks, wide receivers, especially at the top end of that position or deep, to maybe 10 offensive linemen going in round number one.
Yeah, I mean, I think 4 quarterbacks, without a doubt, maybe 5. A wide receiver, 6, 7, 8, maybe. Offensive tackle, same situation, 6, 7, 8. We might see a guard. We might see a center or two. So even just on offense, I mean, we're talking 20 to 22 picks in the first round could just be on offense. So it is it's a stacked draft. And it's fun because when I think about the core positions you want to build a team with, that's where this draft is deep. Quarterback, left tackle, wide receiver, defensive end, corner. Like those are your 5 positions you really need to nail to build a winning team. That's what this draft is great at.
All right, so we'll get to the defensive side of things here in just a minute. Talking with Matt Miller, ESPN NFL draft analyst, and you can catch him on ESPN.com. All of their platforms here as we get closer to the 2024 NFL draft. On the offensive side of the football, you mentioned it, the wide receiver class. It's deep at the top, but how deep is it throughout the entire draft?
It's really deep throughout the top. Like I said, we might see 6, 7, or 8 go in the first round. We might see the same number in the second round. And then even in the third round, there are 4 or 5 players in the third round who I really like and think, man, I see a situation where that guy is a top 3 wide receiver for an NFL team. So it is really, really deep at the top. I think something you're going to see with every position group this year is there is a drop-off on day 3 because we had a record low number of underclassmen enter. Because of the extra 2020 COVID year, a lot of guys didn't enter the draft. They opted for another year of college football. And then also NIL is allowing players the opportunity to stay in college an extra year and have that, you know, financial support to where it's not, man, let me get to the NFL and make real money. Like you can stay, you know, at your college and make real money and continue to develop as a player.
You mentioned offensive line and wide receiver, and we talked a little quarterback as well. We'll get into that as we go through this. But the running back position. And there's a lot of free agents, obviously, in the NFL at the running back position at the top of their game. But this is a running back position where maybe we don't see a running back go in the first round, and very well, maybe not in the top 50.
Yeah, I would say if there's a prop bet on running backs in the first round, hammer the under, because I don't think there will be one. Even in the top 50, I think is 51 is the Dallas Cowboys. That's where I start to think, like, okay, that could be our first running back. Jonathan Brooks from Texas maybe would have been in that argument as a first-round guy, but he tore his ACL in November. That's going to be a little bit of a delayed return for him, so that factors into it. You mentioned the free agent class. It's interesting that the deepest running back free agency class we've seen in a long time happens to coincide with one of the weaker top-end running back classes. So this year at running back, I have six guys in the third round. I have eight guys in the fourth round. So, like, your sweet spot to get a running back this year is the third round or the fourth round, and you could be looking at the number two or number three running back in the entire class being coming off the board in the third round.
On the tackle front and the offensive line front, you mentioned it could be 8-10 offensive linemen,
yeah.
Number of tackles, maybe even a couple centers or an interior lineman. Is there a drop-off after those 10, though?
I don't think so. I mean, obviously, you know, the first-round guys are up in a category by themselves for good reason. The second tier of linemen this year, especially on the interior, is still really, really good. Yep. Guys like Cooper Beebe from Kansas State, Zach Frazier from West Virginia, they're going to be second, maybe third-round picks for Beebe. They're going to start as rookies probably. Like, they're that talented. Oftentimes, it's just like you got one thing. Like, maybe you're a little short. Maybe you're just a touch slow. And that's why you're, okay, well, he's a second or third-round pick instead of a first-rounder, but he's still fantastic. And I think you could look across the NFL right now. So many of the best interior players were not first-round picks. You know,
sure.
Kansas City, Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith. Like, they built that line a little bit through free agency, but second-round pick Creed Humphrey, like sixth-round pick in Trey Smith. So I think on the interior, you can find such great value throughout the draft.
Talking with Matt Miller, ESPN NFL draft analyst. Catch him on ESPN.com and all the ESPN platforms. Follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. To the defensive side of the football we go. And for the Browns, a lot of guys, and obviously free agent comes before the draft. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if we can bring back some of the one-year guys that we signed last year. But on the defensive line part of things, defensive tackle right now, there's only two guys coming back. Defensive end looks a little cleaner, a few more guys, but defensive tackle, when you take a look at that position, strength, what do we see? Can you wait till day two or day three, or is there a significant drop-off?
No, you should wait till day two, honestly. Byron Murphy from Texas is going to come off the board way before the Browns are even on the radar as picking. After that, I think there's a drop-off to his teammate, Tavondre Sweat, who's more of your prototypical nose tackle. Then you would have Johnny Newton from Illinois, kind of in that late first, early second range. And then there is a drop-off to, I think I have four defensive tackles ranked right around 50 overall. Guys like Leonard Taylor from Miami, Michael Hall from Ohio State, Brandon Fisk from Florida State. Players who, again, you might have one thing, might be a little bit undersized, but still a really, really good player, someone who's going to factor in. And especially, I think, for Cleveland, it's exciting because you have a defensive coordinator who might be the best doing it. And that makes you excited about, let's get some young guys in here. You bring in the one-year veteran so that you can run the system for a year. Had a ton of success doing that. But I think now you get excited about, let's start working in some of these young guys. And again, not to keep referencing Kansas City, but they've won two straight Super Bowls. So you're allowed to. But that's what they did with Steve Spagnuolo. They bring Spags in, and they sign some, you know, cheaper free agents to run his system. And then they've been slowly drafting, building it up. And now you've got a situation where you have a great defense. This is mixture, but mostly it's young players that you have homegrown, and that's how you have to build to win.
All right, defensive end. You know, normally we're talking about a star in the top 10 or, you know, a go-to, can't-miss prospect. Not hearing as much chatter at the defensive end position, but it doesn't mean it's not deep.
It's deep. There's just, you know, there's not a Myles Garrett, which there's not one of those. But, there's not that guy. You know, there's not a Bosa out there this year. Dallas Turner from Alabama is a really good player. He's 245 pounds. So he's going to become almost scheme-specific for some teams where, you know, he's not going to play, you know, head up on the left tackle every down, you know, as a true 4-3 defensive end. He's going to have to play in space a little bit. Jared Verse from Florida State is 260 pounds, but there's not always that great first-step burst. So that is why we're talking about guys. You know, Dallas Turner maybe goes in that 8 to 12 range. Jared Verse in 11 to 15 range. After that, you know, it goes to the depth where you're drafting guys like Darius Robinson from Missouri. I'm from Missouri. He's one of my favorite players in the draft. You know, he's 6'5", 290 pounds. So it's, okay, where do we play a guy that's that big? Do we kick him inside? Do we play him outside? He did all that for Mizzou. But you're kind of left with the question of, all right, we love what you bring into the table. We just haven't seen you do this at one spot consistently. So, you know, you're late first-round pick at that point.
All right, you mentioned the corner room being very strong, and that's a position of strength, although you can never have enough corners. What about the linebacker room? What are you seeing here as we get ready for really the big month push leading up to the NFL
I'll
draft?
I'll be surprised if we see a first-round linebacker. I think Edgerrin Cooper from Texas A&M could test well enough here today when they work out to potentially put himself into that category. But after that, it's just a deep linebacker group, a lot of just really solid guys. Junior Colson from Michigan is just one of the – like if we were all just going to sit down together and watch football, he's one of the players you want to watch. It's just fun to watch him play. You know, it's he's an attacking linebacker. Jalen Ford from Texas is great in coverage. There are a lot of guys like that. Peyton Wilson from North Carolina State is a three-down player who's a little bit older and has some injury questions, which is why, you know, the combine is so important. But it's a good linebacker class. It's much better round two, round three, probably even round four than it is early.
All right. Talking with Matt Miller, ESPN NFL draft analyst, safety position. Again, another one that maybe we're not talking a whole lot about. Corners we know about, but safeties, what do you see?
Safeties are hard to evaluate now because of the way the college game is played. Like, everything is attacking the perimeter or a deep shot. So safeties are just really put in no man's land. But I would say this year, I don't think we'll see a first rounder. I would almost say, like, we won't, you know, like, but there's always that one chance.
Sure.
We shouldn't see a first round safety. We might not see one come off the board in the top 50. It's a lot like running back and linebacker this year where, you know, Tyler Newbin from Minnesota is a good player. Cam Kitchens from Miami is a good player. Kalen Bullock, USC, is a good player. But they each have something in their game that makes you say, this is not a premium position anymore. It's been devalued to some degree in terms of salary cap. Let's wait. Let's just wait and get a safety. So I think round two, round three is your spot to do that.
When you're prioritizing positions, you know, if you're going through and looking at things, and do you look ahead to next year and who might be coming out when you're prioritizing like a class? If you're a front office, where's your level of prioritization?
You have to, you know, and especially, you know, at certain positions, you have to do that. You know, if you're a team that needs a quarterback, you better know what's coming down the pipeline, because if you don't take one this year and then you get stuck in a year without a top tier quarterback prospect, that's not great. And it's the same thing at those, you know, core positions, left tackle, wide receiver, pass rusher positions, and corner. You want to peek ahead. The nice thing about 2025 is it's really good wide receivers again. There's two corners who might be the two best players in the entire draft, and it looks like it'll be another good offensive tackle class. So you have to be – I think smart teams are looking ahead and preparing that way. No, you're never going to know, like, where you're at in the
Absolutely.
Draft order. But you do want to know, like, strength of the class. Where is it going to be at? So that if you do bypass a defensive end this year, it's like, okay, well, we feel pretty good we can get one next year.
All right, one final one for you, Matt Miller, ESPN NFL draft analyst, kind enough with a few minutes of his time from way back when till now here at ESPN. Mel Kiper Jr., best piece of advice you've gotten from Mel?
Oh, man, he is amazing and has helped my career so much in the few years I've been at ESPN. He told me, he said, write things down. You know, that, like, our generation, everything we do, we type. And so when you're studying for the draft, you need to be able to talk for about 90 seconds about 500 players. And you don't know when they're going to get drafted. A producer is going to come in your ear and say, be ready, this player. And so writing things down has been huge for my draft prep. My hands are probably getting a lot stronger than they were in the past. But it's nice to, you know, when we do even things like this, it's a great test of, all right, how much do you know about players that are going to get drafted super late and you don't have much time to think about what you're going to say?
Or the big teleconference that Lily put you on.
Oh, that was great. Yeah.
You want to talk about practice?
It's like speed dating, you know, it's like rapid fire. No, it's so much fun though. And, you know, doing radio and podcasts really helped my career when I was coming up at Bleacher Report of, hey, I'll hop on a podcast and talk football. And, you know, getting your voice and your opinions out there to more people is invaluable.
I wish you all the best of luck, man. Continued
Thank you so
success.
Much.
Family good? Everybody good?
Everyone's good. Can't complain. My son's a Chiefs fan. So it's like, He's
living his best
right now,
life right now.
Right? Absolutely. Yeah, I told him I was a Bulls fan of the 90s, so I get it, you know?
Uh-huh.
We all were, probably, so it's fine.
Exactly. Except for us in Cleveland, because Michael was ripping our hearts out.
That's
a minor detail.
My bad, yep.
That's all right. Matt Miller, ESPN NFL draft analyst. Appreciate the time, man. All the best to you.
Thank you.
Good stuff out of Gibby and Matt Miller there. Coming up next, second hour of the program, free agency. That's true. Our free agency primer for the Cleveland Browns. You listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Bally Bet, now live in Ohio
on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
All right, welcome back into Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, sports betting partner of your Cleveland Browns, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland. Free agency starting, what is it, March 13th? We'll go? That's when it goes?
We are, like you said, just 10 days or so away. I think the tampering period begins, that Monday?
Monday
I always
at
like
noon.
That. Legal tampering.
Yeah, so Monday at noon, which is the 11th, we'll begin legal tampering, and then Wednesday, the 13th at 4 p.m., the new league year starts.
Okay. So that's how that goes, and then we will be off. Since Andrew Berry has been the general manager here, the plan that he puts in place versus the execution has been batting about 1,000. How many guys has he pointed in free agency that he wanted that he didn't get? It feels like every year it's like, this is what we need, these are the targets, and you go get them.
Yeah,
and he's done it. So we had last week at the combine, we had the Denzel restructure. We could have more of those coming, I would assume, in the next couple of weeks.
Yes.
From a free agency standpoint, this is all going to be part of that one big plan. We talked to ABN Kevin last week, and you're not going to pin him down on anything. But like, what you can do in free agency will counter what you do in the draft, right? I mean, there's going to be some overlap.
It changes it. If you check, a need off. Now, not to say that they've done a very good job, and you even go back to those first years here, you bring in Jack Conklin, you draft James Hudson, you bring in a veteran, and you drafted somebody as well. You brought in, back then it was Austin Hooper, and you drafted Harrison Bryant. You brought, like, they did a good job of, not only for the present, but then also looking to the future. So just because they do something in free agency doesn't necessarily take it off the list. But I do think that you're right. We have, now we're with our quarterback contract, we are in a finite resource period where decisions will be made. How are we going to attack certain things and with what resources? And the truth of the matter is, you certainly want a wide receiver to end up being a stud that was a draft pick rather than one you're going to have to pay. The likelihood is, Amari Cooper, you're not going to be able to have forever. Elijah Moore, if you are going to pay, has to be paid at some point this season or after this season. And then you got, some young guys that you're hoping continue to take steps forward. But yeah, there will be decisions that have to be made about where resources are allocated vis-a-vis free agency and the draft. And as you kind of look at our roster right now, just to kind of set the stage for who's the status of various players, quarterbacks, Deshaun's under contract, Dorian Thompson-Robinson's under contract, Flacco, unrestricted free agent, P.J. Walker, unrestricted free agent, Jeff Driscoll, unrestricted free agent. Running back, Jerome Ford still on his rookie deal, Pierre Strong's on his rookie deal, John Kelly you have kind of on like a futures deal, and then Nick Chubb, who is probably a restructure candidate because you just don't know where he is and his number is very high.
Yeah.
And there's money that can be gotten back there.
Yeah. I mean, there's everybody.
Yep.
From us, from a free agent.
From a free agent standpoint. Yeah.
Everybody on that list. So, I mean, so all of these things, when we were talking to AB, you and I were, and we were talking like how many years, he's like, he's 3 years out is the way he's looking. So they were planning for all of this.
For sure. So like receivers, Elijah, Amari, Tillman, David Bell are all under contract. You've got Darden and Mike Woods as well. The unrestricted's Goodwin, who's on Prochet, Jakeem Grant. Tight end, everybody is back except Harrison Bryant's an unrestricted free agent. On the offensive line, Jaron Christian is your only unrestricted free agent at the tackle position. On the interior, it's just Michael Dunn and Nick Harris. So you actually have a lot of stability there. Defensive tackle, this is where you run into some numbers issues. Shelby Harris is an unrestricted free agent. Maurice Hurst is an unrestricted free agent. Jordan Elliott is an unrestricted free agent. So that means you just have Dalvin and Ika. Something's got to be done there. On the edge, only Zadarius is not back. So Miles, Alex Wright, and Obo Okoronkwo are back as your top three for sure, but I think they would like to have Zadarius back. Sam Kamara, who got some run for the Browns, is kind of a defensive end, defensive tackle hybrid. He is an exclusive rights free agent, which means the Browns will have the ability to keep him if that's what they want to do. Linebacker, Awok, Kunashik, Phillips, Taki Taki, Matthew Adams, all unrestricted free agents. Adams, big player on special teams. Taki and Kunashik's good player on special teams. Taki's a stud. Awok's been kind of the leader of this defense. Corners, only Mike Ford Jr., but again, big special teams player and was your fourth corner for a lot of this season. Safeties, Rodney McLeod, and then, of course, Daron Harmon, who came on late in the year. And then Corey Bohorquez. So those are your free agents this season as you sit right now.
So then that question becomes, all right, if we are going to be aggressive in free agency, and I think we – look, you're going to be aggressive in free agency. That doesn't mean you're going to spend $30 million on a play. I mean, that's we can't do that. It's not the way this will work. So I would – you tell me – I think there are – you mentioned all those linebackers. I think there's some restructure. There's some of those guys will be back.
Yes.
I would be shocked if they weren't.
I think so.
I think defense, if I'm going to do need, it's defensive tackle and it's weapon. Weapon, weapon, weapon. So that's running back slash receiver and it's defensive tackle. Those are the major things. Because you did see some signs at defensive end. Like, sure, you want to have Za'Darius back, but you also saw something from Oboe Wright as well. So you saw a little bit of that as the season went along.
Yes.
But that's it. It's going to be D-tackle and receiver. So when you look at – let's just take a look at the D-tackles, for example, that are free agents.
Okay.
At the top, it's – I mean, like, Chris Jones is going to be back in Kansas City.
Yes.
You're not going to be in those waters. It's Chris Jones. It's DJ Reader. Now, Fletcher Cox.
Knows Jim Schwartz.
Knows Schwartz, 33 years old.
One-year
deal. As you look through that, SportsTrack folks, if you want to – they do the best of this. Like, you can break this down by age, by salary, who's available, who's free agents. You can quickly kind of go through it and see some of the names that are out there. Christian Wilkins, who just was not tagged by Miami.
Justin Matabike.
Yeah, yeah. So there's some names there. Who jumps out to you in terms that feels
that could
like,
make sense?
Yeah.
Fletcher Cox on a one-year deal. Sheldon Rankins on a one-year deal. Denico Autry on a one-year deal. Maybe Javon Kinlaw. As somebody that was a former first-round pick, Young hasn't really kind of worked out, but
yeah,
that could be somebody as well. So those are some of the names that I think that you could be looking at.
And then you have that same conversation at wide receiver, and you're looking for burners, right? Is what we need.
So Calvin Ridley is probably the best guy in terms of somebody who could become a number one for you. We're not getting T. Higgins, otherwise, yes, it would be T. Higgins. I think Calvin Ridley is probably going to be the best wide receiver that actually hits the market this year. Hollywood Brown's got a ton of speed, former first-round pick. Darnell Mooney was a 1,000-plus yard receiver a couple of years ago in Chicago. Mm-hmm. And then there's Gabe Davis. Beyond that, there's nothing that the Browns would be looking for. I think beyond maybe Ridley, Brown, Davis, and perhaps Darnell Mooney, there isn't anybody at the top. KJ Osborne, I wouldn't think. Odell, no. Tyler Boyd's a slot. Curtis Samuel's just not – it's not what you're looking for. So you might have a better chance of getting somebody in the draft. And eventually we got to hit on one of these guys. That's part of the thing. You've drafted three third-round receivers already, and you really haven't gotten a ton of production out of them. So that's something the Browns have to hit. That's something they have to hit on. Running backs, I do think that perhaps, you know, like a Zach Moss – who showed pretty well in Indianapolis this year, could maybe make some sense. You're going to need either Kareem, a rookie like Kareem, perhaps the kid out of Notre Dame. What's his name, Uno? Estime?
From Notre Dame.
Estime.
Yeah. Estime.
Audric Estime.
Yeah, he ran slow, right? But his tape would say he is not slow.
Mm-hmm.
And he could be, we need that hammer. He could be a hammer like that for the Cleveland Browns. But yeah, that's kind of where you're looking. Tight end is an interesting one to me. My guess is you probably will draft a guy. Noah Fant is somebody that has a size speed thing that we might be interested in. Former first round pick again, as we kind of like that look. But at the same time, I think we're going to be a much more 11 personnel team this year.
Yeah.
And you got Akins, who I think fits probably what this offense is going to be better than he fit what this offense was last year. Akins is the guy that I want to get more production out of. Every time he got an opportunity, he was pretty darn good.
What did you make of because so much of this wide receiver, you know, it's funny, like what we perceived our wide receiving group to be and what it actually was were two wildly different things. Like, we did not get the production out of Elijah other than in instances when Amari was out and then he really flashed. It was like, boy, we got to find a way to get some more people eating.
Yeah.
Goodwin obviously was derailed by the injuries. He was spectacular in minicamp, but the health scare derailed him, and I don't know if he was ever quite the same. And then Tillman's a guy who flashed, and you saw the body, but it never clicked the way that you thought it would.
No, it didn't, and that was, I think, in many ways disappointing. So for Elijah, career high in catches and yards this season, but to your and yards from scrimmage. But you're right. It felt like you only got to see it in the games when Amari wasn't as featured.
Yeah.
Which makes you think, could he do it? I mean, he did it against the Jets in a very, very important game against one of the best pass defenses in the NFL. That was probably his best game. And he only played, what, a half in that game before he got hurt? And he had, I think, 6 for 68 and a touchdown against, let's see if I can pull it up real fast, 5 for 61 and a touchdown on 6 targets in the first half. So he can be that number one guy when he's featured that way. In the games where he got significant targets, in the second half of the season, once they decided, like, okay, we're going to give him some targets, 5 for 44, a touchdown, 6 for 60, 4 for 83, 5 for 61 and a touchdown. It was the games where he had the 2 targets, 3 targets, 4 targets that he didn't do much in those games. So maybe there is something to be, and I think this offense should suit him more. But yeah, our receiving group did not perform. A career from Amari Cooper, but to your point, Tillman, you know, David Bell catches the touchdown uncovered against the Jags, and he adds 2 against the starters of the Bengals with Jeff Driskel. But he had for the season 14 for 167 and 3. Tillman had 21 for 224, no touchdowns. You know, we weren't even getting anything out of DPJ, who had been proven to be at least a solid receiver in our system prior, 8 for 97 in his 7 games. So it was weird. I think one of the things that we've got to be focused on, right, is how do we get the ball to more people? Now, Chief and Amari combined for over 2,100 yards and 11 touchdowns. We threw for 4,000 yards and 24 touchdowns. So
half the production, two guys.
More than
yardage-wise.
Yeah,
that's not going to...
And if you had Jerome Ford in as the top back, that they combined, those three combined for 16 of your 24 touchdowns.
Yeah. So you got to get more diversified offensively.
Yep.
And I'm sure that's something that Ken will bring to the offense. And I just talking to Kevin last week, like, one of the things that he lit up on was this notion of, yes, we really loved working with the people who were here, but he is a learner. And so it sparks his curiosity to talk to others, and ideas come. And you could tell that even in the early workings of the relationship with Ken, that there was going to be that he's enjoying it. He's enjoying learning from somebody else and hearing somebody else's ideas and principles. And that has to be, I think, the things that you got to be to compete in this AFC. And we'll get into the defensive questions with the linebacker and tackles and free agency in a second. But I think the thing that you've got to be dynamic, and you got to be diversified. You think about Kansas City. Now, they've got a wizard at quarterback, so set that part aside. But you didn't know who was going to get you on a given week. Like, they were a nightmare from a fantasy perspective. You could not play any of those guys because you had no idea other than Pacheco and Kelsey who was going to be there every week. Everybody else, it was pick your poison.
And
this is
Rashee
your day.
Rice, kind of. That
towards
was it.
Of it, yeah but not,
no, no.
Not crazy.
Not Sky Moore.
No, not Sky Moore, Guru. He was not it. So the question becomes then, how do we get more dangerous? How do you get more diversified?
Yes.
That's the focus. So to me, you've got to have you need to have a hammer in that backfield. And then I'd like to have a home run hitter in the backfield. And we don't have a lot of those. We don't have home run hitters. We are a 10 to, you know, like, our scoring drives are 10 plays, 12 plays, 13 plays.
Yes.
You need a couple, you need four
easy.
Plays, 80.
Easy.
You need a couple of those where let's get an easy one here. Everything for us takes a lot, so we have to get more dangerous. And my hunch is that's what this is going to be a lot of. Now, some of that will come with Deshaun. A healthy Deshaun will give you that danger.
Yes.
But you need to have it at receiver, and I think both at receiver and at running back.
I think you're exactly right. And I think that was one of the things that was lacking. Now, we started to get some of that with Flacco and our ability to kind of hit those shot plays, but I think Pierre Strong has the ability to be a dangerous running back.
So is it...
I really
is
do.
Is it the pass pro that got him? Because he flashed more. You're right. Like, the times that you would see him, you'd go, there's more there. There's a little something there. But then we never got to see it full time. So usually what I've learned in all the years doing this, or even at the college level, is if a guy flashes and has physical skills but isn't getting the run the way you'd expect, it's usually trust.
Trust, right. Something assignments. He led the team in yards per carry, 4.6. You know, he was... outside of Nick Chubb, he was the only guy who had 50 carries or more that averaged more than 4 yards per carry. The only one. Nick Chubb obviously averaged 6 yards a carry in his 28 that went for 170. But Pierre Strong was, he was that guy that it felt like had the opportunity. Here's another thing. One of the stats they track at at a Pro Football Reference is success rate on runs. Mm-hmm. Nick Chubb was 57%. Pierre Strong was 51%.
Yeah.
Kareem was 46% and Jerome Ford was 39%. So he had a success rate over 50%, which for a running back is very, very good. You think about Nick Chubb averaged 6.1 carry, he's at 57. Pierre Strong was at 51. So when it's, he can play.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if we have in our mind a bigger role for him, which is why I think you might need a hammer compliment. That's something that I'll do a little digging on, but he is the answer. He was the fastest running back in the combine 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He's the answer in terms of a scary prospect.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's what you need. So I guess offensively, and this is why, because you could roll the team you have now. You don't have to get a starter, stud, or any of that. These are all luxury things. This is all, hey, let's try to go win the AFC things. So to answer this question of like more likely to acquire these things, I think you're going to try, you go out in free agency first and then you do the draft, but I think they're in concert.
Yes. Agreed. They are. It's all part of the plan, and where you may be able to, you know, think you're going in one direction, but then a free agent's value pops up to you that is better than you thought, you can make that move there. But the Browns are going to have to, I'm with you, weapons for sure, and then they've got to figure out, you know, what they're going to do at the front in the interior,
yeah,
and what they're going to do at the second level in the interior of the defense, the middle of the defense. You need another defensive tackle. Who are you going to bring back? Who are you going to add? Is it draft, free agent, or both? Who are you going to bring in at linebacker? Is it draft, free agent, or both?
Those are the only two, as you bring to the defensive side, those are things where you have to sign people or draft people to play. Are those two, as we stand right now, because
yeah,
we just don't have – we don't have enough linebackers. We don't have defense tackles. So you're going to have to sign people to be able to play there. If you were to put yourself in Andrew Berry's shoes, what do you think his number one priority is?
I would think weapons. I mean, this is an offensive league. It's about supporting your quarterback. That's what this is all about. So I would think weapons is probably the number one priority, and the next is probably, I bet he's thinking weapons first and foremost. Second, bringing back Za'Darius or another edge that they like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Then probably shoring up the defensive tackle room. And I think you got to have some type of planning for your offensive line.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You can't keep having that type of investment.
It feels to me, these are not scores,
no,
it just feels to me like we might have to make a move on the offensive line soon.
Yeah.
Because your three, Betonio, Posick, and Teller, multiple time Pro Bowlers at both guards, and Posick, they're all being paid. Jed Wills is being paid. Conklin's being paid.
Mm-hmm.
DeJuan is not really being paid. I mean, he's being paid as a fourth rounder on the second year of his
Correct.
Team, and he has to start.
Yeah, he might be your best tackle.
He is.
He's your best tackle, yeah.
So I don't think you pay a tackle $12 to $13 million to not play.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the question becomes, do you just move a tackle? Now, we needed five this year, mm-hmm, so it's a nice luxury to have, but at the same time, it's too expensive of a luxury. You wonder, could DeJuan play left? Could Jed play right? Could DeJuan play left, Jack play right? Could Jed, if you had to make a different move, could Jed play somewhere in the interior?
Mm-hmm.
I think understanding that puzzle and the finances, because right now you're paying five offensive linemen good money.
Yes.
And you're not paying one guy who's got to play. So that means you're paying somebody who's not going to play barring injury. And now you have the luxury of waiting to see how that maybe somebody gets hurt in camp or something like that.
Yeah.
But I do think that is something that's a position that should be monitored as a potential way to acquire an asset and take money off of the books. Like the Browns just, and I'm not suggesting that they trade any of these people. This is purely for the sake of discussion because we were just talking about it. On a pre-June 1st trade, it would be designated probably a pre-June 1st trade, you could save, you'd have to be post-June 1st designation.
Mm-hmm.
You would save, with Jed Wills, $14 million.
Mm-hmm.
With Betonio, which I don't see happening, $8.5 million. Conklin would be $6.3 million. Wyatt Teller would be $6.4
million. Mm-hmm.
So $14 million is a big, big, big
number. It's a big boy.
Big number.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right now, and this is what I mean why it's not sustainable. So here are our top cap numbers going into this season. Number one, Deshaun Watson. Number two, Amari Cooper. Number three, Myles Garrett. Number four, Nick Chubb. That all makes sense. Nick Chubb, obviously, the health is makes it less. But then here we go. Number five, Jed Wills. Six, Ward. Seven, Betonio. Eight, Conklin. Nine, Teller.
Yeah, that's four of your top ten.
Our offensive line.
Top nine, yeah.
And then you have Chief, Dalvin, Greg Newsome, Oboe, Thornhill, Posick.
Yeah. That's another lineman. So you got
Five of your top 15 salaries are on the offensive line.
Yeah, that's not going to be
four of which are in your top nine.
Yeah. Not tenable, bud.
That's not tenable.
Not tenable. We'll do a little NFL Combine stock up, stock down coming up next. You listen to Cleveland Browns Daily on 850 ESPN. Click
right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Be part of one of the most passionate fan bases in the NFL. Join Next Gen STM presented by Ticketmaster. Official waitlist of your Cleveland Browns being a Next Gen STM, the best chance to become a season ticket member in future seasons. Visit clevelandbrowns.com/NextGenSTM to reserve your spot today. Time for a little NFL Combine stock up, stock down via the NFL.com's Chad Ryder. Uno, how did it go once I left on Thursday? No, Wednesday. I left after Wednesday. Thursday, I was gone.
Yes.
How was that? Was it still busy over there?
Yeah, a lot of people.
Yeah.
Still out and about.
Yeah. Yeah, it was dying down, man. A little bit dying down, but there were still some people hammering, and then.
Yeah, but then on the weekend, there was all the big position. I mean, it's long.
It's too long.
Too long.
I feel like more people probably got there as the weekend went on for all the workouts and stuff.
Yes.
Because I don't know if you guys watched, there was like a ton of fans in the stands.
Was there?
Combine, and yeah. It was, which felt new. Like when Worthy ran that 4-2-1, the place went nuts.
Yeah.
Like the fans in the stands was a really cool thing.
I think used to have that. They used to have fans in the stands and they went away from it. And now it looks like they brought it
back.
So, all right. Very good. All right, Uno, what do you have for us?
From Chad Ryder and NFL.com. Unfortunately, he lists them four separate days. So we'll just have to go day by day.
All right.
That's good.
We got time, Uno.
Yeah, that's good. Day
stock
by day
up,
is good.
Stop, stock down. For day one, that was the defensive lineman day. He had stock up from Braden Fisk, Jalix Hunt, Byron Murphy, Chop Robinson, Devondre Sweat, and Dallas Turner. The big ones there for me were Turner and Robinson. Robinson ran a 4.48 in the 40-yard dash at defensive end.
He's a kid out of Penn State.
Penn State.
Yeah,
he's a really good player. He got hurt in the Ohio State game, was kind of unblockable for a little while, and really liked him as a prospect. So the fact that that's fast, really fast.
254 pounds is a great size for him, too, and then to run 4.48.
Yeah.
Those are the big ones. Dallas Turner has – somebody called it like the Wembanyama wingspan for him. He had crazy long arms. So I think that was his biggest win. Like, he ran a good time, but the arm length at defensive end, he's going to be able to just – like take tackles over with his arm size. So that was the big win for Dallas.
Yeah.
And makes then one of the guys I got to talk to, Jalix Hunt from Houston Christian, mm-hmm. he's a converted safety. He started at Cornell as a safety, went to Houston Christian as a defensive end. 4.6 for it, it was good for him, but I think it was the fact that when he was doing the drills, he looked like a defensive end. And he looked like the transition from him from safety to end was really coming into its own, and I think people think he's going to be a day two pick.
What did he weigh? Do you know?
I can find it.
My guess is, just from reading the profile, my guess is he's more going to be a fit for a 3-4 as a stand-up. Yeah, he's 6'4", 250. He's probably an edge in like a 3-4 where it could be a stand-up linebacker.
Yeah, I think he had to put on a lot of weight, too. That was the key for him, like moving from safety to end.
Yeah.
You're going to have to
yeah.
to put on a lot. But him really looking like a defensive end in the drills, that's a big win because that's a really not a transition that you see all too often.
Yeah. So that's good. Some of the defensive tackles, obviously those are people to look at for the Browns.
Yeah, Griff and I were talking back here. Griff got to look at Braden Fisk from Florida State, and he's now all in on the Braden Fisk train. Super athletic tackle.
Ask Griff if he thinks he'll be there at 54.
Griff? He says probably not. And no, I think before the combine, yes.
That's why this is difficult from our vantage point, because the people who are going to impress the most are going to be long gone, by the time we pick.
All of those winners,
they're all going to be gone. You know, for us, we actually need the losers. We need the combine losers who are winners with tape.
So that could fall. Be the running back from Notre Dame.
That's it. That's an example of somebody who was a combine loser but could be a big winner for us, because we're just going to wait around, man.
Yeah.
So that's why this is difficult.
The one that I saw later on that was a loser who could be a winner is Troy Franklin from Oregon. They said he was a loser because his on-field work
Wasn't good.
Wasn't good, but still ran a 4.41. The speed is still there. So I think I didn't see a lot when I watched him that he was that he had drop issues and things like that. So keep an eye on those guys that, like, pay attention more to the tape than what they do at the combine. Those numbers are important, but just because you lose the combine does not mean you're a bad prospect.
Here's one thing we know about Andrew Berry, like, in terms of what they've drafted. They like guys who are identified early as studs.
Yes.
They like guys who have huge measurable upside.
Yes.
And huge talent upside. And they will throw the dice
yes.
on the rest, because you bring them into our culture. Our culture's great. Our atmosphere's great. Our leadership's great.
It's not.
That's what you're going
to say. It's not often that you get fortunate enough to have a JOK fall in the second round or a Delpit fall in the second round. We've done a very good job of taking advantage of that. But when you get guys, for example, in the third round, and even sometimes into the second, you're betting on a certain trait that you think is great. You know, MJ Emerson probably was available to the Browns in the third because he didn't have a ton of ball production at Mississippi State.
Correct.
But they believed he could play that press man corner. And they liked his ability to do that, or play in a cover three scheme to be kind of that tall outside guy in a cover three where you're basically man on the outside anyway. That's what you have to do, find that. And then if you find the right trade and it comes to be, because everybody at that point has got some flaw, otherwise they'd be going in the first round.
Yeah, correct.
So that's what it is.
Yeah. Are you doing, what else do you have here?
Some of the other things of note, a guy that I think a lot of people have, he's kind of been put on the national stage now, is Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo, the cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
He ran a 4.33 in the 40, and he had a great Senior Bowl, too. This is a guy that's
going
like,
in the first round, right?
He's going in the first round.
Yeah.
He's probably going to be I would guess, like the second corner off the board.
Yeah.
It's going to be Arnold from Alabama and then him. But I think, like, he just put his name on the national stage for everybody now. Like, you see the 40 time.
Yeah.
And good for him, too, like staying at Toledo. I know in this day and age it's not easy to stay at the small school. That was something that stood out to me, was there's a couple of guys who could be top 100 players who are stayed in the MAC or stayed in their smaller school despite their talent and the NIL and all that stuff.
Well, the thing that's amazing is that they weren't poached at some place
mm-hmm.
and brought in for money that they were able to develop. And that's a testament to Kidd. And it speaks to how much of an inexact science this is.
Yes,
that
certainly.
You just don't know, like, how a kid is going to develop, what their work ethic is, what their give a damn is, all of those things.
What the distractions will be. Yeah. All of it.
Yeah. Who do you got in the receiver room there, Uno?
On the receiver
or day three, on day three, on D. Give me the day three winners and losers. Xavier Worthy was the winner.
We
with
obviously
4-2-1.
Yep. He was the biggest winner. I mean, a 4-4-1 is pretty impressive. Griff's guy, Ladd McConkey, coming in with a 4-3-9.
So he's the kid out of Georgia.
Yes. Yep.
He is in the Hunter Renfro
big time
slot guy. Like, that's his stick. He runs very, very good routes. He gets some separation. I don't think it's a fit for what we need, but it's
I wouldn't have said, but with a 4.39, he was a lot faster than I thought he was going to be, because he looked, they were giving him Cooper Kupp comps, and then he ran 0.3 faster than Cooper Kupp. So he's an interesting one. I don't know that he's necessarily a burner, but that time, that time flashed a little bit. JJ McCarthy listed as a winner. He is probably the one player, like the one quarterback in this class nobody knows what to make of.
So I liked him a lot at Michigan from the standpoint.
It's all there.
Yeah, and he's a gamer, man. Like, when it came time to make a big throw, he made him. He made him in the Buckeye games the last 2 years. He's made him in the playoff this year. He's a leader. They follow him. They revolve around him. I could see him, someone really, really falling in love with him. I really could. I Denver, I don't
know
if he'll get there.
Sean Payton. I think Sean Payton.
If he gets there, though, because they're 12.
Yeah.
Denver is 11. Minnesota
11.
Is 12. And Atlanta was the first spot people were saying at 8.
At 8? So
eight,
then Atlanta, 11, if Atlanta did that, they'd have to really love him, because everything else is set up to win now. So that would have to not get Cousins, and you'd have to do that. Who knows if he gets to 8? His stock may improve that to point where it's over Jaden Daniels or over Drake May. It could.
There seemed to be some rumors about him being the third quarterback.
There's always those rumors coming out of the combine, because people are reactionary to what just happened. We still have 2 months to the draft.
Yeah, there's plenty of time.
There's a
coming
long
out of the
time.
Combine, Malik Willis was going in the top five.
Yeah.
And he went in the third round.
Yeah. I would still personally take Drake May and Jaden Daniels over him, but I could see why teams are starting to like him.
I'll just tell you this,
the
on Jaden Daniels.
You mentioned is the big one.
Here's the other thing on Daniels. Daniels stat padded the last month of the season at a tremendous rate. Tremendous
rate. To win the Heisman, right?
Yes.
He played against what, Campbell?
They played some garbage teams in the last month. And he benefited tremendously from that. JJ never did that at Michigan. And they run a totally different offense. I mean, there's going to be two LSU receivers in the first round of this draft. So Michigan didn't have that type of weaponry at all. So I think that's something to watch for on JJ. The Drake May one it's tough with him, because, you know, where are the big time things where you go, my God, did you see what he just did? Like, he's been identified young, incredibly athletic family. His brother's the one at North Carolina who hit that shot at the buzzer to beat, was it Kentucky in the Final Four or the Elite Eight a few years ago en route to a national title? Luke May's his brother.
Yeah, I think that was Kentucky.
I think that was Kentucky. He's a big time athlete, big time player. But it's silly season right now. It's what it is.
And May not throwing was an interesting one for a lot of, because May didn't throw and Daniels didn't throw.
Well, the top three guys didn't. And I think what they're all saying is the tape, my resume is my tape, and I'll see you at Pro Day. That's what they're doing.
Meanwhile, and JJ goes out there and throws. And that was, I think, whatever he looked like on the field, the win was that he went out there and he did it.
And he did it.
And he
for
showed
now.
Teams what he has.
For now, it was a win. We'll see if it turns into anything.
Yes.
The other guy that was interesting for me on day three, they have him as a stock down. That's Keon Coleman. He's a big receiver. Like,
get out of Florida State.
I wouldn't be afraid of that.
I wouldn't be afraid
He's
at all.
No.
Like a great jump ball target. And 4.61, you can live with that in the NFL in the right scheme and with the right player. And I think Keon's the kind of player who can succeed in that role. Like,
he also gives us a completely different body type, a different ability to play above the rim. And he's somebody that, like, I don't remember what Mike Evans ran. Now, I'm not suggesting that he's Mike Evans, but I bet he was probably mid 4.5s. 4.6, if he ran a 4.55, Keon Coleman probably goes in the first round.
4.53 for Mike Evans.
OK. Okay. So faster, but still not a blazer, but size.
The size.
Dude, his catch radius is incredible. His jump ball ability is incredible. There were many times as Florida State was in the run last year where he was the best player on the field. So I would have no, I would be very excited about that pick.
Yep. He didn't seem like a, like that time to me didn't say, you're slow, you're not going to be able to make it. Their whole offense was throw it up to Keon Coleman and go catch it. And he did that
at
an exceptional level.
Yeah. I thought Roman Wilson was maybe going to get a shout out running a 4.39, the kid out of Michigan. He's a pretty good player.
That's humming.
He could be somebody in the second round the Browns look at.
Yeah.
Roman was a late bloomer too in this class. I didn't think he was going to go high.
Yeah.
And then everybody's talking about him as like a second round guy now, which I'm fine with because he's good.
Yeah. And you got, we got a couple of months before we get to the draft.
Yes.
All right. Good job at UNO.
Thank you. Very good.
All right. Listen to Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, sports betting partner of your Cleveland Browns, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Cleveland Browns Daily, brought to you by Ballybet, now live in Ohio on 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Hey, Z, I don't know if you know this, but you don't want to miss Billy Joel and Rod Stewart.
Haven't heard about it. First time.
They're going to be together. Happening? This is the first time they're ever going to be together.
Is it one night only?
It's apparently for one night only.
Wow.
It is September 13th. It's a Friday.
Okay.
It's at Cleveland Browns Stadium. The tickets are on sale right now. And if you want some, you can visit clevelandbrownsstadium.com/Billy and Rod 2024.
Billy and Rod 2024.
So it's Billy Joel and it's Rod Stewart, and they're together for one night only. That's how that works. Jason Kelce retiring. Official. We kind of knew
expected.
Six-time All-Pro. He is retiring. He is a six-time All-Pro. That is a Hoff.
Hall of Famer.
That is absolutely a Hoff. Part of a Super Bowl winner in Philly and kind of the golden era of Eagles football. Don't you think?
Yeah, for sure. They could make that case, yeah.
Yeah, from that Super Bowl through the Jalen Hurts run.
They've been pretty good.
They've been very good. They've been in the mix. They've been in the NFC Championship game.
Pretty good.
The only better one in our lifetime was probably the McNabb run.
McNabb, right.
They were really good with Randall and Reggie White and Jerome Brown, but they never manifested. NFC was too tough. So that was probably it. It was probably the McNabb run. But they got the Super Bowl. These guys got the Super Bowl.
Won it.
Yeah, they did. He will be an incredibly hot commodity, I would think, if he wants to in the analyst world.
Yeah. 100% he's going to end up on the show.
What would he want? Does he need to do any of it?
What he should want to do is work a studio show. That's where the money is, and that is a much easier life than doing the games.
Well, what if he goes even further? What if he does Manning Cast type stuff?
He absolutely could do that.
That's what I would do. Then I just do it from my house.
Yeah.
And I just come in on a stream.
So who would he do it for? The Eagles?
Well, he could do it for the Eagles. He could do it for Fox or CBS or... ABC?
Eventually, what the NFL needs to move to, and I'll just let people chew on this for my final thought of the day, and I've been saying it for years, but every broadcast should be your team's Manning cast. You should not have to listen to people butcher the names of your players.
There's no doubt.
Butcher the name of your city. Butcher the name of Berea.
I think we talked about this. You have an NFL one team, and you can even do a 1A. Like Fox's, CBS's A team is Nance and Romo. If the B team is Eagle and Charles, fine. They go to the two best games. Everybody else, you local. And you could, if it's us against Pittsburgh, you listen to you guys. You listen to Pittsburgh, you pick it. It syncs up with the TV, and away you go.
Right, or you could even do, I mean, as I'm thinking next level, do where you do something like, for example, me and the Hoff do a Manning cast that's the TV broadcast.
Yes. That might actually get the Hoff to do it because he could do it from his house.
Right. Right.
We got a chance.
But just I'm saying something
you're right.
That
I think
every team
there.
Should have that.
Yeah, I think it'll get there.
Like, you don't need the eighth team coming in and butchering everything, and you're like, you don't even know
how
the
could
team.
They
you don't
possibly,
even care.
They couldn't know the team. There's no way.
Of
they're
course,
doing
too much.
Too much. Too much. Much. All right. The next level is coming up next. We're back tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Cleveland Browns Daily, 850 ESPN Cleveland.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and 850 ESPN Cleveland.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.